Welcome to the Marshall Probe Podcast, presented to you by Cooper Tires and also our friends at the Justice Brothers, makers of fine additives, cleaners, and lubricants for the automotive, heavy equipment, agricultural, and industrial worlds. Hard to believe it's been 5 years since Mamo Gidley's life-altering crash in the early stages of the 2014 Rolex 24 at Daytona, driving for the Bob Stallings Gainsco team. In the number 99 Corvette DP, the Red Dragon, Mamo suffered rather horrific injuries to his feet and lower extremities, also lower back injuries, a lot of broken bones, even worse, the nerve damage. Something where, as you'll hear as we get into the discussion, maybe a little bit deeper than we want to think when it comes to our heroes who are engaged in really bad, bad accidents and recovery periods. But Mamo admits there were times where he questioned if continuing was worth it. I think this is one of the reasons of the many that makes this accident really stand out, knowing that Mamo could have ridden into the proverbial sunset just from a career standpoint. Said, okay, I've had bad crashes before, but this one is just robbing me of all joy. To heck with racing. I just want to lead a normal life after this. Racing almost took my life. And no, because he is such a well of positivity and warmth, he decided to keep fighting and keep fighting. And although he is still searching for a full-time ride today, he's back, fully capable, has been racing in recent years since the crash. So we spent a little bit over a half hour on the phone talking about life from the crash up to where he is today, speaking about his awesome wife, Maudie, as well, and some of those who played integral roles in getting him back up and back to full strength. So if you're a lover of Mamo Gidley like I am, and he's been a friend forever, but if you're someone who really has just cared for him, then hopefully this update, looking back 5 years later, will bring a smile or some form of encouragement to you or maybe those that you love who are going through their own wars. With all that said, let's get going with the dynamic Mr. Gidley, brought to you by Cooper Tires and the Justice Brothers. Mamo, it's crazy, but also feels like it was just yesterday, thinking back that we were at this 5 year mark. Wouldn't call it an anniversary. Maybe you would, I don't know, but this 5 year anniversary of a genuine, holy cow, life changing event for you. I mean, you've had some bad crashes in your career before, come back from them. Rolex 24, 2014, though, you, along with your loved ones, along with your fans, all of us, saying a lot of prayers, hoping you were going to be okay and pull through. Here we are, man, 5 years later. What comes to mind just on this date before we roll the clock back a bit?
Well, you know, I'm really just in a good spot, so I'm just really, like, appreciative of, just amazed, actually, at how the body can heal from something that was pretty extreme, that's for sure. But honestly, it's like I'd almost rather be in my shoes in that accident than everybody else, because I know there was a long time. I mean, my shoes weren't that good, but I know there was also a long time when, you know, my family, people that cared a lot about me, were really wondering what was going on. So it's, you know, yeah, it's been 5 years. It's just, like I said, it's just, I've always been a happy person, but it's just, you know, you just learn to, something like that happens and you really appreciate, you know, what just sort of comes naturally, because that's kind of where I'm at now.
You know, another maybe more modern topic here, again, before we kind of wind back a little bit, got a text from the great, not just driver, but human being, Scott Dixon, about a week ago, saying, hey, do you remember exactly what injuries Mamo suffered? Did he suffer some back injuries? And I said, yeah, he did. You know, he was really in a bad way for quite some time. Really couldn't sit without being in pain. It was a bad thing. And he said, well, you know, I really think that Robert Wickens would benefit from talking with Mamo and maybe just learning, although Robert's been through more severe injury here. But I really think that Robert's someone who needs to speak with Mamo and just needs to hear that journey. Has that been a part of your life as well, an unexpected part of your life, of being not just a, quote, survivor, but maybe someone who can help a Robert Wickens or others who've had pretty devastating racing crashes.
Yeah, there's for sure. And, you know, actually, Robert Wickens, I don't know him personally, but I did reach out through a friend of mine, or at least a friend of mine contacted me. And I said, yeah, for sure. You know, I'd love to talk to him. You know, if I can help, that's great. You know, we're all different. What happens to us? So it's hard to sort of have a formula on what sort of gets you back going again. But it's definitely nice to have an idea that, you know, things will potentially get better, and some ideas of what you might do to help things. I know when I was, you know, you go in stages, it's like, you know, going back, you know, it just, at least for me, at least the pain I was in, broken bones, you know, you think broken bones, that's at a, you know, a 10 or 11 broken bones, do you think, oh, that's a lot of broken bones. But the broken bone stuff, you know, that sort of heals pretty quickly, you know, within a couple months. And as long as you're not, you know, running or doing something, you know, extremely physical, it heals. But when you are dealing with pain, whether it's like what Robert's doing, I don't know exactly, but back related, where there's nerve stuff. And for me, it was just, you know, having like an idea that, you know, I would go months where it would stay, everything would stay exactly the same. And I would tell myself, so, you know, is this really as good as it gets? And I'd always say, I hope not. And then, you know, a few months later, something else would happen. And I know when I was reached out by lots of people, but one thing that sticks in my mind was Derek Daly actually called me, and we talked, and he said, you know, it's been like 15 years since he was in some big wreck. And he said, I'm still finding that that I'm still healing, like, to this day. I still, anything that I feel or, you know, that I'm struggling with a little bit, he says it just gets better and better. So
wow,
that's kind of good, because you think, oh, this is it. You know, after 6 months or a year or 2 years, is this it? This is all you got? This is it? But then, surprising to me especially, is just things continue to get better. At least they did for me.
You and I've been fortunate to know you for decades, and to call you a friend. You and I have had these conversations before, so, you know, I'll admit for our dear listeners that, you know, we're covering some ground that we've covered before once, if not multiple times. But I'm also reminded, Mamo, that with this 2014 race, the first race of the brand new IMSA, with the American Le Mans Series and Grand Am coming together, might only have been about 5 years ago, but we still have a lot of new fans who may not know about this crash, may not have known the story. So, I mean, pardon while I ask some things that some might have already heard or know about, but you're coming out of the first horseshoe, you're rocketing up, getting ready to make that high-speed left-hander into the second horseshoe. You are looking to make a pass. There's a bit of an accordion effect. Car having an issue that you weren't aware of, you know, could not see. One of the more upsetting pieces of video that has been broadcast in recent years is that crash of yours. Also in this, you know, somewhat older technology steel tube frame prototype that collapsed very heavily onto your feet, lower legs. And also in this huge jarring crashing motion, there was, you know, a lot of back damage done as well. When did you know, when did you feel that this had happened? Because I know, you know, this wasn't something where you were fortunate to wake up 3 days later on all kinds of great drugs and say, hey, what happened to me? Brother, this is a nightmare in some regards.
Yeah. It was, you know, vaguely remember the crash, but I was just coming out of the horseshoe and going to pass, actually I think it was one of the Krohn cars, 458 GT car. And, I went to the right, just like you'd normally do, sort of just past the exit because you've got a lot more speed. And then right at the last minute, he darted right. And I had no idea why he darted right. Thought maybe he didn't see me. So then I just darted left, and that's when I saw the car that I hit. So it definitely happened pretty quick. It was definitely a long road to sort of recovering, but I think, I mean, I was kind of out of it for about a week. You know, I had three surgeries right away. I think one of them on my back took 8 hours, so they were pretty big surgeries. and, you know, a lot of medication and just sort of, you know, in sort of, you know, on just sort of floating around, just not knowing what was going on. I remember some people coming in, having conversations with people while I was still at Daytona or at the Halifax Hospital near Daytona. But I think it really started kicking in. And I think during that time, people would come and see me, at least from what I was told. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to see you in Daytona in, you know, a month or 2 months. And, you know, cause I was sort of, I wasn't thinking clearly. So I was thinking I was just, you know, in for, something very minor. And,
I've said this before. I'm glad our mutual pal, Robin Miller, wasn't there, because his favorite thing to do is to come in shortly after and say, hey, you got that $300 you owe me? And just figure, you know, oh, you don't remember? You remember the bond that from me? So, yeah, gladly he wasn't there to take advantage of you. And I don't mean to make light of this, but, you know, you went through intense pain. Then you were thrown right, you know, you were thrown right into surgery after surgery after surgery. There's someone else here who, again, we've mentioned before, written about before, but always deserves love and mention. Actually, two folks. One of them obviously being Bob Stallings, team owner of the Gainsco Red Dragon that you were driving, and also IMSA founder Jim France. These are two gentlemen who you hope Bob, as your team owner, would step up. Never any real question. He's just an amazing human being. But then there's Jim France, who, let's just say, you wouldn't necessarily expect the owner-founder of the series to get involved at that direct of a level to help you, knowing that you're one of, you know, a couple hundred competitors at the track. Amazing to learn, though, that he did, and it wasn't just token stuff. He really, really showed you what he was made of.
Yeah, Jim's awesome. I mean, it's... for sure, racing for Bob Stallings. I mean, that was right from the get-go when I met him years ago, and then actually when I met him to drive for him, you know, I knew he was just a stand-up individual right from the get-go, you know, and, you know, what he did was awesome. I mean, he was just there. He was a great friend, you know, still is, but was a great friend, was just there, able to be there and just supportive in so many ways. And then Jim France, I mean, Jim, since I started running Daytona Prototypes Grand Am back in like 2005. After like a year or two, I started to see Jim, because he would come to the racetrack just dressed casually, walk around, talk to people, and, you know, I just started becoming friends with him. And I always said, well before this accident, that the race for a series like Grand Am at the time, any business always starts from the top down as far as the people that you're around or people that are there that you deal with. And I like Jim so much, and that's why I like the series so much. But, you know, he was awesome, along with a lot of people in the series and just a lot of other fans and friends. But it's, you know, I always told people, it was like, I obviously wouldn't have liked to experience the accident again, but what I would really feel sorry for is someone, everybody deals with certain things in life, you know, it doesn't necessarily be in a race car, could be in a street car, they could fall, you know, down, whatever. But the thing with me, which I was fortunate, is that I had so many people that were behind me and that were, you know, supportive of me. That makes a huge difference. I don't know how the average person would have ever dealt with something like that, and there's plenty of that that goes on.
So with Jim's help, you are flown back out to the Bay Area here to start rehabilitation. And it's not just rehab, it's recuperation. It's, you know, turns out to be more surgeries as well, more all kinds of things. And this, to me, is really the part of your five-year journey, Mamo, where you go through the absolute depths with the crash and the immediate aftermath. You get stabilized and normalized as much as you can in Florida, then come back out here. And if we're thinking, you mentioned already breaking multiple bones, if we're thinking the normal recovery arc, you go, all right, well, he's going to be out a couple months, 6 months, see how long it takes for the bones to heal, but you know, if he's not back driving again next year at minimum at the Rolex 24, then something really strange is going on. But that's indeed what happened. This wasn't just calcium and needing to get bones happy and strong again. The pain that you mentioned, that to me was really the hardest part of the journey that I saw from the outside. I mean, I know I came up and saw you not too long after you got back to the Bay Area, and your eyes were just sunken in your head. I mean, you had that really hollow look. It wasn't from malnourishment, wasn't necessarily from anything other than the pain was so pervasive that it really took you out of a place where normal recovery, just enjoying any aspect of life, had become a real challenge. What do you remember from that time? And maybe also tell us about your lovely lady Maddie, who was she was your co-pilot in this whole thing.
Yeah, it was a gnarly time. You know, it was, like I said, broken bones are one thing. At least for me, it's like after 6 weeks, you know, everything looked good. You know, and I was basically at that point, I was originally in a rehab sort of hospital up in Santa Rosa near my town, and then I was in a rehab center after that because I was not home for about 2 months. And so about 6 weeks after when I was in the rehab center, everything bones wise looked good, but unfortunately that's when the nerve pain started kicking in. And it was not a structure issue, I guess. It was basically just the scar tissue that was forming around, you know, where the vertebrae where the burst fracture was. And it doesn't start happening because scar tissue sort of fills in and grows with time, as I found about 6 weeks after. But then it was horrible. It was bad. Long-term wise, I ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner on a massage table on my stomach for 8 months. That was long-term. But short-term, you know, the first couple months after a month and a half, I mean, I was like quivering during the day, and I was definitely screaming out a few times a day and at night. I just couldn't control myself. It was like someone would hit me with a ball peen or a hammer on my tailbone.
Jesus.
Yeah, so that was hell. And it's one of those things, it's like, you know, you get past that 6 weeks and you realize, okay, this sucks. When I'm first at the rehab hospital, I'm just like, broke a lot of bones. You know, I'm starting, everything's coming back to me. And it's like, okay, I got a little bit of recovery here, that's for sure. And then it was like a double whammy, you know. Then I got that nerve pain. And, you know, I was telling you about how, you know, you ask yourself, is this as good as it gets? And, you know, for sure, that month and a half, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, or just about 5 months after my accident, I'm asking myself that, and it's like, you know, if this is as good as it gets, this is not exactly, you know, this is not going to be an enjoyable experience, you know, for the rest of my life.
And I don't want to dig too deep in there, but, you know, I've seen a family member go through that as well, and ended up being terminal for him. But, yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, we're not saying anything negative by admitting that, you know, there are times you can get to a place where the pain is so severe for so long, where I think it's only natural to say, if this is the blueprint of what the rest of my life might be, do I really want to be here? Is this, you know, am I going to have a reason to keep waking up if all I experience every day is excruciating pain? You know, if you can't think, because you're dealing with this all the time. I mean, that I would say, again, it's something that there's no physical rehab that is going to answer that question for you. That's a much harder question you have to keep posing to yourself and answer.
Yeah, it's definitely something I thought about. And I always said, or afterwards, it was like, you know, was I going to take one last sail? You know, hop on my boat and go somewhere. But it was tough. It was definitely tough. You know, I mean, it was, like I said, every few months, maybe, or it took a while, like 4 months after, but I'd see little tiny signs of improvement. And I was doing everything. I mean, I not only had support of Bob Stallings and Jim France, but also like John Gorsline, who was my insurance guy.
Great John,
you know, I was doing everything, you know. It was like wide open to do everything. But you know, like hyperbaric chamber, cryotherapy, Chinese herbs, acupuncture, you know, holistic medicine, pelvic this, all sorts of stuff, tons of stuff. But also, you know, like I always tell people that are involved in an accident, we're all different. We all recover, some slower, some faster, some not, you know. But for me, it was like, even though I couldn't drive a streetcar around for months, I couldn't dress myself. I definitely couldn't put socks and shoes on, but I couldn't even dress myself. As soon as I was home, I started doing stuff. And I always tell people it was, you know, it's like you got to let your body know that you plan to use it again. You can't be crazy, which means I couldn't jump on my go-kart 2 months after the accident, or, you know, jump on my mountain bike. But I could get to the therapeutic pool. I could have someone drive me there, and I could have someone undress me, and I could have someone dress me, and I could sort of hobble into the pool, and then I could just sit there and float for an hour and just sort of try to move my arms, you know? Mm. And so that's how it started, as far as the recovery. But, you know, I also had my wife, Maddie, who was, you know, was driving me places, physical therapies, my mom also. And, you know, we drive to a physical therapy. If they ran over I'm talking one of those normal reflectors in a road. If they ran over that, I was, you know, like, sort of lashing out to them. You know, it wasn't a happy experience.
Wow.
If they hit the brakes too hard, you know, I'm not embarrassed to say that, you know, it happened, but I lashed out a couple times and, you know, made them cry, you know, and then I had to apologize after. But it's just like when you're driven by this pain inside that's just making you, not making you, but it's definitely influencing what you do. You know, I was not a happy camper at times, especially when that pain jumped out at me. But they both stuck with me, you know, they both kept driving me places I wanted to go, to the gym, to the physical therapy, this, that, whatever. And then a lot of people just stepped in and tried to help. But it was brutal. It was definitely the first 5 or 6 months. It was, like I said, it was like, am I going to take the last sail out? Is this as good as it's going to get? Then, I wasn't in a good spot then, for sure.
So where things start to turn is the part where I honestly don't know too much about. I mean, via text or phone or whatever, you know, you'd mention that, hey, you know, my eyes are opening up a little bit here, you know, things are getting a little bit better. Was there anything in particular, Mamo, from the pain standpoint that started to improve just naturally? Or was it a procedure? What was it that kind of got you past this low to a reason to wake up and feel, you know, a little more positive about the future?
That's a tough question. It's a tough question, you know. I mean, it's the problem is everything with me happens so slowly. I mean, it was happening fast. I recovered to where I'm at, which is awesome. But, you know, as far as like when I was doing something, whether it was, you know, swimming or hyperbaric chamber or cryotherapy, whatever I was doing, I never immediately felt something, or the next day or the next week felt something from anything I was doing.
Mm.
It was months down the road, you know, that all of a sudden my body, you know, I would feel a little bit better. Something would change. I would feel a little bit. It was basically the pain is what I was dealing with. So it was pretty straightforward, but I would feel just a little bit less pain. It's, you know, I mean, I tell people, it's like, I never knew. I just always did stuff that I thought, I knew it wasn't hurting me, and I was hoping that it was helping me. Again, it's just like, I'm just motivated to get back to strong again. You know, people ask, do you want to go racing again? I wasn't even thinking that at that point. It was just, if you can get back to being strong again, then sort of the world opens up. All your stuff that you normally like to do sort of opens up again for you. So,
I want to sit up and eat breakfast. That's my first goal. I want to get I want to get off the damn table and eat breakfast. Like, you know, that's where this recovery is starting.
That's it. I mean, when I first had the back brace, when I pulled that back brace off, you know, that was a big thing. Before I was able to get the back brace off, You know, simple stuff like, seriously, I mean, I put my socks on for, geez, it must have been like a year and a half with a one of those sock helper things. So, you know, in the gym, I can't bend down to get my socks on. I couldn't even, you know, reach my leg. I mean, at first I couldn't even touch my head to shampoo it with my left arm. So there's just so much stuff that you take for granted, that simple stuff, but, you know, when I stopped needing this sock helper, that was great. At first I had to sleep on my stomach for probably about 6 or 7 months, and I'm a back sleeper. And so, all of a sudden I could sleep on my back. I mean, it just happened. Like, I woke up the next morning and I'm sleeping on my back, and I'm wondering how is that? I could never do that before. You know, sitting in a chair. I mean, like I said, breakfast, lunch, and dinner on a massage table. When I sat on a couch, at first I couldn't sit on like normal. I was reclined with pillows, but still I was sitting upright, and, you know, more or less. And then that was a big thing. Putting shoes on, you know, I mean, that took even longer, because how do you tie your shoes? You can't get down there. So there's lots of, I mean, I should have kept notes, you know, but there's so many things, you know, that happen, that change, but it's all natural stuff that just you take for granted. But when you realize, you know, it takes when you realize you're not able to do that, then you realize how great it is just to have those sort of natural sort of strengths, you know?
So one of my favorite, texts from you, I think, might have you, I don't remember whether it was, I think it was a text, was something along the lines of, and this is just fast forwarding a little bit, hey, got some GoPro footage of me karting at Sonoma Raceway. You want it? To which I was like, hell yes! Because, I mean, again, dude, you have turned 18 million miles in go-karts, okay? That's, you know, but so, good Lord. That's not news, but the fact that you had gotten to a point where, yeah, it wasn't a prototype, it wasn't an IndyCar, who cares? The fact that you could sit in a go-kart knowing that, you know, you have no suspension, your suspension happened to be the tires, that you can go and hit the go-kart track at Sears Point, deal with the pounding and pummeling, and go quick as well, and that was just one of those little happy dances, like, all right, my man is on the path. Tell us about that, because again, if we're talking milestones, dude, karting was like, oh my god,
that was awesome. Yeah, there's so many milestones. That was an awesome one. That was, and you know, that was a long time, because you know, after the accident, then I needed the year for my back to recover, and then after that year, I needed something else to be done. And so in order to get another doctor's appointment, it took another surgery. It took 9 months for a guy out here that was recommended. And then another year after that for that to heal. So it was almost 3 years, 2.5 years, almost 3 years before I was sort of given the okay to get back into a go-kart. So we're talking nothing and for 3 years. So one of my friends, Richard, sponsors Rattlesnake Electric. They bought me a 125 shifter, and you know, I remember getting it built. Had it built by Cameron Karting. I got it. I put decals on it, and I was going to go. I didn't want to go out to Sonoma because there's a lot of people out there. So I actually went out with my wife out to Dixon, which is a track.
I love Dixon. That's a fun little joint.
Yeah, and during the week nobody's out there. Because what I was really worried is I didn't want to go out there. I didn't want people to be really excited about me getting back out driving, but for me to get back out there and to take a lap or do something, feel it and go, you know what, this is not going to happen, at least right now. But I went out there and, ran, and, I was shocked. I mean, I'm not shocked, but I felt great. Other than that, I was really tired. I could only do like 4 laps around Dixon because it's a high grip track, and my neck was, you know, my head was falling off almost.
Wow.
But that was cool. And so I actually drove out of Dixon, you know, and like I said, I always say, you tell your body what you want to do. Don't do anything crazy. You know, like, I wouldn't go out there and just be crazy and re-injure, but I wanted to make sure that everything was solid. So that was awesome. And then after that, I'd already planned, if that went well, then I was going to do a MAMO back karting day or MAMO back driving day. And so I set up a day, because there's a lot of people that were always part of what was going on with me, from physical therapists to doctors to friends to family. And so I set up a day at a Sonoma Raceway, the go-kart track, and everybody invited a lot of people. So then a lot of people actually got to come out there. And I told people it was my first time, but it wasn't actually my first time. It was my second time.
That was a smart call. You want, you know, no issues here with the little secret spy trip. So that worked.
Yeah, it was great. It was great because, you know, I rolled the cart down, jumped in it, and went. And, you know, I was warmed up from a couple of days ago at Dixon. And obviously, I've been go-karting for pretty much as long as I've been racing. But so instantly, and the track was wet too, a little bit wet, but I was instantly just flat out and going, and, everybody was like, oh my goodness.
Well, at least you have a sense for the dramatic. I appreciate that there, Giggly.
Yeah, it was great.
So from there, but, yeah, things, you know, more opportunities start to open up. You know, Bob Stallings said, hey, whenever you're ready, we want to get you out and have you test. At that point, they're running a World Challenge GT car. I know that you had, I believe, a coaching client as well who wanted to go and do some racing with you. We've seen you, I think, as recently as last year in the LMP3 class in IMSA. Well, let's close on, you know, where you're at today. Again, I realize we're basically at that 5-year later mark in terms of your crash, but it sounds like from the outside, you're back to the place that we knew you beforehand.
Yeah. No, it's all good. I mean, it's, you know, anybody that hasn't seen me for a while, you just come out to the local kart track and, it's just back like normal, you know? It's everything feels good. I mean, you know, we all get a little older with time and, you know, it's just normal, but, you know, and I think a lot of people say, oh, I'm just as fast as I was before. And, you know, honestly, I think I am just as fast as I was before. So actually, I shouldn't say that because I think I'm rated as a silver. So
yeah,
take that
yeah,
back.
You still got a ways to go, buddy. You, yeah, definitely.
But it does feel good. You know, I mean, I'm motivated. So the thing about it is, you know, I got into racing. A lot of people know like you. Some people know like you. A lot of people have no idea. But I went to my first race as a mechanic, or as a spectator. 3 months later, just started as a mechanic for the Jim Russell School.
Yep.
And then 7 years later, I was racing Indy cars for Derek Walker. So, and my dad was a commercial fisherman, worked at actually a shipyard at that point, so not a big moneymaker. And my mom was a school teacher. So, and none of them had ever been to a car race before. So, it all happened pretty quickly. And the only reason it happens quickly is if you have the love for it, you really like doing something. It doesn't matter what it is, but for me, it was driving. Really liked doing it, progressed very quickly, worked hard, but not really for me. I just liked doing it. So it was just what I enjoyed doing. So it's kind of like, you know, that's where I am again right now. You know, I mean, I'm in the same spot. You know, I tell people I'm a semi-employed, unemployed race car driver, which is good because that's the same spot I was before. I mean, I'd like to be a full-time race car driver. But as far as the desire, I mean, you know, I just got back from bike ride. I'm going for a kayak after we get off the phone. I'll be in the gym tomorrow. I'll be at the go-kart track on Thursday. So it's just nonstop for me because it's just what I like doing. And it was cool because I got some opportunities for sure the last couple years, including the IMSA, the LMP3. And had a great race in Atlanta because I actually started the race, so was able to show people what we were able to do as a team and ran at the front, which was awesome. And, you know, I'm just looking for another opportunity. I'm a little older than I was, but I think you can be an inspiration to people that are not 25 years old. Maybe you can be for 25, but even people that are in their 40s, an inspiration to do something, you know, that you really want to do. If you really love it, you can be successful at it. And that's where I am right now. And I just need another opportunity to get out there hopefully long term, and do what I love, which is racing cars.
Well, I hope. It's an unfortunate way to learn it, but I hope you have learned and found over the past 5 years, if there is any question beforehand, how many people love you, care for you, have just your best interest in mind and in heart, whether it's folks saying prayers, folks sending baked goods, whatever it might be during your recovery process. I hope you realize that as someone who has been so selfless throughout his career, always the guy with the smile, ready to sign an autograph, take a photo, go deeper, give advice. Hey, my son, my daughter wants to get into karting. Where do I start? Give me a call, shoot me an email, stop on by, whatever I can do, let me know. You've always been that guy, and I know you had to go through hell to have it reaffirmed, but I hope you've seen and felt over the last 5 years how much people care for you, and maybe, if anything, paid back a lot of that selfless love and care that you have given out through your career.
Well, I appreciate it. For sure, for everybody, the feeling is definitely mutual, you know. I mean, I have a lot of respect for everybody that helped me get through this, and it's awesome. Now I just got to get Gidley Nation back in a car, you know, so I can be out there. So I need a guy that sticks with me I need to find an opportunity that sticks with me. That'd be awesome, you know? So
well, there's nothing wrong with having goals and aspirations in your 40s either. So
yeah.
Well, brother, thanks as always for taking some time, and do appreciate. I know that, you know, looking back on this holy crap moment from 5 years ago, you know, these things are never exactly the most fun conversations, but as usual, you're a gem there, Gidley.
Well, Marshall, like I said, I appreciate everybody and you, and you know, just live by what I always usually sign my autograph hero cards, which is work hard and dream big. You know, that's what I hope everybody does with life, you know, just go out there and make it happen and enjoy.
And that was our man, Mr. Gidley. Boy, just one of those guys. One of those people that when you see them, you just light up with a big smile. And they do as well. If not, he's the one with the first smile. It's just, hopefully we all know those people in life that just, man, they're an energy source. They make you feel good. Even if you don't need anyone to help you do that, you feel better. If you're down in the dumps, just a guy who's just that spark plug. Someone who's going to tell you, hey, let's go do something. Let's get up, get moving, whatever it is. Let's go make ourselves better in life. I mean, yeah. The fact that he's also an amazing race car driver on top of that, I mean, it's almost an overabundance of awesomeness in one human being. So I really do hope we get to see him, I don't know, maybe in the Michelin Pilot Series. Who knows what? Maybe more LMP3, but IMSA is a better place with Mamo Gidley in the paddock. Any series, World Challenge, I don't care where. Would hope that he gets to come back, do more of what he loves, and obviously enrich whatever paddock that he happens to be in. All right, well, Rolex 24 at Daytona is almost here. Glad we could spend some time with our man Mamo 5 years later. And other than that, I think that's all I got for you. All right, I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is a Marshall Pruitt podcast brought to you by the Justice Brothers and Cooper Tires. Thank you for listening.